streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft.
That's right. We will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and surprises.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year.
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It's going to be a very good hour. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, a real treat today. Joel Klatt last hour. I love to teach him football. Jeff Perlman, multiple-time New York Times bestselling author on the Laker dysfunction, and he knows it. He knows inside this organization so well.
Did you finish Winning Time?
Yes, I did. I liked the first 6 episodes more than the last couple. I like the building, the arc of Kareem and Jerry and how they... Now, those guys didn't like how they were portrayed, but I thought that was fascinating. And then once we got into it, it wasn't quite as interesting. But, I mean, the guy who did it, Adam, what's his name? The director's a talent...
McKay?
Yeah, Adam McKay's a talented guy. So he's got a definitive style the way he does stuff. Yeah. I liked it early, not as much late. It's okay. I thought it was entertaining.
I liked it.
Yeah. I don't read a lot of sports books. I read other books.
And you're not a big sports movie guy either.
I think they're mostly nonsense. I liked Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner. I thought that was great. And Ray Liotta, who passed away today. And
yes.
I loved Ray Liotta. Can I tell you my 2-minute Ray Liotta story?
Yep.
So one time I was visiting Los Angeles before I lived in this city. And, you know, you go to all the different places. And so my wife, we stayed in a very bougie Beverly Hills hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget where it was. It was right on Rodeo Drive. And they had a very nice little cool bar, very international. You'd sit down and there'd be people from Portugal and Germany. And it felt kind of cool, right? And so I'm sitting there and my wife goes to the bathroom. And so she doesn't believe this story because she can't confirm it. And Ray Liotta, you know, Goodfellas, my second favorite movie of all time.
Excellent film.
Ray Liotta sees me and moves toward me quickly. And I'm thinking I'm going to end up in a trunk of a car.
You got nervous.
I got like sweaty nerve. Ray Liotta was very intense looking and in very many intense roles. And he came over and he's got this voice with a big smile. And it was one of the great moments of my career. He said, "How do you talk to yourself for 3 hours a day?" I'm fascinated by that. And I said, don't hurt me. Please don't put me in the trunk of a car. Please, please don't hurt me. And he could not have been more warm and wonderful and gracious. And I loved Ray Liotta, and he passed away. And for a kid from a small town, that little two-minute interaction,
yeah,
it meant the world to me. He could not have been more gracious. I'm telling
you. Tremendous talent.
He is one of those actors. I don't care if he talked or not. When he was on screen, you could not take your eyes off him.
He was he had a very captivating presence. Yes.
He really did. Speaking of captivating presence, Steven Jackson is now joining us live, 14 years. Everybody's got an actor like that. I always told you, if Don Cheadle's in a movie, I go to see the movie. If Don, there's certain guys, Michael Keaton to me can play crazy, can play heroic. There are certain actors I'm drawn to. Ray Liotta was one of those, and Steven Jackson is now joining us. Okay, I didn't get the heat all year. I don't understand them. I think they need more dudes. Are you disappointed where they're at? Did you expect it? What did you make of it, Steven?
Rest in peace, Ray Liotta. Henry Hill, man, one of my favorite actors as well, man. Henry Hill was that guy in Goodfellas. The heat has really surprised me. I didn't think that he was going to make it this far, actually. Jimmy Butler's had a great year, and they definitely overachieved with not having a second star on his team, not really having no scores or really a playmaker on the team besides Jimmy Butler. It's just surprising to see them make it this far, but this is the end of the road for them. You see, Boston is just a better team. Boston has way more playmakers, way more defenders, the best team, defensive team in the league, and this is where it stops. But after this season, it's showing a lot of holes in Miami and what they need to go forward, because that's not the team to even get back to this point again next year.
Yeah. So, listen, the series is not it's 3-2 Boston, so they still have to close it out at home. And they have had some bad quarters. Do you see a hole in the Celtics game? Do you think they're pretty complete? Or do you see something that does concern you maybe next game against Miami or against, like, a Golden State or Dallas? What bothers you about Boston?
Yeah, they're a great defensive team. They make a lot of mistakes on switches and stuff like that. Being the same size team and having Al Horford protecting the paint and also Williams protecting the paint, you shouldn't have that many defensive mistakes, especially when switching with the same size team. I think this team could be even more of a better defensive team if they pay more attention to detail. They do it for the most part. I think Ime Udoka brings that scout report, that same style of scout report that San Antonio has. That's getting the guys ready for the game and knowing what the other team likes to do. But if they can kind of limit those little mistakes like that, this team will be even better than what they are already.
Yeah. So do you expect the Warriors to close it out tonight? And if you do, why?
I do. I expect Luka to put up a great fight. But really, this is supposed to be a sweep, right? If you have to get Dallas's best game at home in game four, and they have to shoot the ball like they shot the ball to win the game and still almost come back and lose it after being up 20-some points. Yeah, I said they'll get one. But Warriors are an experienced team. They've been here. They're a championship team. They know what it takes. And they've been in a situation where, you know, Bron and them came back and beat them after they was up in the series. I don't think they're going to let that happen again. They understand what's at stake. Like I said, this is a different team, and they're happy to be back together. And I think this team knows they need to finish Dallas and get to the finals, because they don't know if they're going to ever get back to this position again.
You know, I said this. You played with a great player, Tim Duncan. Not all great players, Stephen, are easy to play with. Listen, Kobe and Shaq won titles, but I just read a book about that. Man, that was cats and dogs living together, man. That was a lot of debate and a lot of arguments. Luka's great. His ball usage is through the roof. It's very James Harden. And guys don't want to go to a team and sit around and wait for the shot clock to expire. And if you get it, there's one or two ticks left. That's why KD left Westbrook, sitting in the corner waiting for the ball. So I said the other day, is I wonder if you don't build the team a little bit like Boston, where you get athletes and defenders, you may not attract another high-scoring free agent. They may not, like a Dame Lillard, may not want to play for a team like that, or Donovan Mitchell. What do you think is the best kind of player you put alongside as a two with Luka?
That's a good question. I think you need a hybrid type. You need a 3-4 type, a guy that can play center some nights. you know, when you're going small. But he has to be a solid 3-4 where he can guard multiple positions, but also get 25-30 a night. And, you know, I don't know if that guy's in the league right now.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And I really don't know if he's available, to be honest. You know, he needs a LeBron KD type, you know, somebody that can or Anthony Davis type, somebody like that that can come in and take the load off of him. Well, Luka won't mind passing the torch to him sometimes in the game and let him take over. But he didn't see that with KP, and he wasn't comfortable with KP because KP wasn't vocal enough. And I don't think he's as passionate of the game like Luka is, and I don't think they saw eye to eye. Luka needs somebody that really loves the game, that play with a lot of passion, and that can kind of add to his cockiness and put a little swag to that team, because that's what Luka's trying to bring. He's bringing a lot of swag to the team, and being one of the top five players in the game right now, in my opinion, you have to get somebody of that caliber to play along with Luka for them to be successful.
I'll throw a guy at you. I'm just going to throw this out. So, because I think he's an expensive guy, and the team he's with isn't quite sure what to do with him long term. He's a very good defender. He's a former number one pick, but he doesn't have a lot of dog like Luka. He's definitely a 2 to a 3. Andrew Wiggins. So I'm not sure Golden State can afford him because they got expensive. He's not a one. He don't want to be a one. But that guy can defend. He can be athletic. He can give you 24, but he doesn't need to be satisfied. What do you make of that?
Nah, you need more of a go-getter, Kyler. You need more of a dog or more of a go-getter, because you Luka can only go so far, and as far as his personality. You know, it's more of on the court making faces at the crowd and at the players and stuff like that. You're gonna need that other star to be able to get in guys' face. You know what I mean? On not only your team but the opposing team as well. You gotta have somebody that can get in that face and the other team respect it. And like I said, that guy might not be in the league right now. But then again, you know, you always find a diamond in the rough somewhere.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. The we got a lot of blowouts in the NBA playoffs. And, you know, my takeaway is, listen, man, the three balls changed it. So one team gets hot, the other team has to chase them. And if one team's hot and one's not, 6-point lead becomes 21 real fast. So I have this theory about what I would do to the three-point shot. I've put it up before where I put up a graphic. I'll show it to you right here. I would eliminate the corner three because I think it's virtually impossible to defend the three if you have to defend the corners. This would force, it would be a benefit to a defender, and it would allow defenders like you, an elite defender, a little easier time just to defend a smaller area on the three, meaning more guys would move in and you'd get more of a mid-range game, which I like. I like dunks. I like mid-range games. I like the floaters. I think it's becoming too three-ball dependent. And once you fall down against a hot team, Stephen, you have to jack them up and pray you hit them. So is that idea nuts, or where do you land on all these blowouts because of the three-point shot?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's always different things you can come up with to try to fix that. But for the most part, it comes with competing. I don't think these guys are competing like that. You know what I mean? To be getting blown out, having so many blowouts in the postseason, it just doesn't make sense. And then if you take away that corner three, it's a lot of guys that's not in the NBA right now. A lot of guys. Bruce Bowen's one of the best defenders in the game. But if you took away that corner three, I don't know if he would have scored a point, right? that's my big brother. I learned a lot of defense from him. But that corner three was his go-to. And Pop told him, don't shoot the three unless you're in that corner. He's going to make 8 out of 10.
Right.
P.J. Tucker, too. If P.J. can't get a three-point shot in the corner, I don't know where his offense is going to come from.
Yeah.
So taking that out of the game, it'll really affect the game for sure.
Okay, finally, Warriors-Celtics, if they were to meet, I think I like Golden State because I think you can put Wiggins on Tatum and just make it a little more difficult, whereas I think the Warriors have more offensive players. I think I like the Warriors in about 6 or 7. Where would you land if they met?
I'm torn. I like Boston because they're a bigger athletic team, but I like Golden State because experience. You know, experience can win you games. Series, it's a toss. If I had to pick a team, I'll go with Golden State because I'm family. But Boston, right now, the way they're playing defense and offense on both ends of the ball right now, they're looking like a championship team.
Yeah. Peyton will be back for the Warriors, I think, which helps. He's another versatile defender for Golden State. Stephen, it's an absolute pleasure. Congrats. They've got a podcast. It's fantastic. All the Smoke with Stephen Jackson and Matty Barnes. He's great. See you, buddy.
All right, my man.
I still contend that my brilliant three-point shooting alteration will be at some point embraced by Adam Silver and the NBA. Maybe not now.
I mean, he is right. That is...
Oh, it would take... You got,
it would take a lot of people out of the game.
PJ Tucker would be like, can I protest?
There would also... I mean, you look back at moments that Ray Allen shot.
I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm just throwing something
out
there.
No, I don't... But you have to adjust the game as things change and evolve, and it has become a three-point shooting league. The Heat can't buy a bucket, and as teams start to pull away, and it's not just been the Heat, saw it with Golden State the other night, you saw it with Golden State against Memphis, when a team gets hot from three and you try to keep up and you are not making your shots, it is impossible to get back in it. The blowouts are a real thing.
I don't want the CFL. I don't want to throw on every down. I like the fact that Tennessee could be a number one seed. I think that's good for the league. Two things can be possible. If you run a league, you want it to be offensive leaning. And you also want great defensive play capable of winning a Super Bowl. Those two can exist at the same time.
Right.
That's why the NFL, they're not going to allow you to hit the quarterback as much or intimidate receivers with like concussion-bearing hits. You can still hit. It's still, the guys get hurt. It's still regulated violence. By the way, UFC did this. They understood that part of their attraction was the rawness of it. But if you go back to Dana White really took this over, the Fertitta family, they took out some eye gouging. They took out stuff where they're like advertisers are turned off by it. Like some of our people are turned off by it. We understand we have violence, but there's limitations to what we are going to allow.
Right, and they call fights when it goes too far.
That's right.
And
so,
they have a responsibility. I think when you have team leagues like the NBA, like the NFL, you want to force people to build complete teams with high level stars at the important positions.
Exactly,
and that is what has kind of been eliminated with the 3-point shot, because it's almost impossible to defend when you have these shooters that are this skilled, and when you have centers shooting threes, then it's like, you know, if that's not a part of your game, where do you fit into the sport?
Yeah, you want to make it difficult, somewhat difficult to score, because as you pointed out yesterday, these athletes are all better than years ago.
Right.
They're getting, and now we're recruiting from an international pool. I mean, baseball's got players from all over the globe. NBA, same thing. So when you're drawing from an international pool, it gets really good fast. So you're getting more skilled players. American players are more skilled. European players who were skilled but weren't real tough 20 years ago, now they're tough and skilled. These guys are walking into this league. It's just too easy. When you're scoring 40 points as a young kid in an NBA playoff game, maybe it's time to move it back 4 or 5 inches. I'm for offense, but I don't want to watch Canadian football, where right. You like literally you can run in motion. You get a head start as a wide receiver. That ain't great.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Saturday, it's a USFL primetime showdown between the New Orleans Breakers and Jeff Fisher's Michigan Panthers. Kickoff is at 9 Eastern on FS1. Then Sunday, the league-leading Birmingham Stallions take on the Pittsburgh Maulers at 2 Eastern on Fox.
Everybody is wrong, myself included, all the time, but it's really bad when people lack the self-awareness to acknowledge they're wrong and, like, move off it. Like, if you're wrong, I was wrong this morning, but stop being wrong on the same thing over and over. Here's a prime example. I'm going to say this. I've said this for 25 years of doing this. Quarterback is different. You got to be an adult because you're the face of the franchise. Turn your hat around at the podium every Wednesday. Be a grown-up. You're not a fanboy. It's okay for you fanboys to wear your hats on backwards. You'll never be leaders. Nobody will ever put you in charge of a $2 billion franchise. Do your thing. But you do realize a story came out today that the Panthers wanted him, but were not willing to pay more than $5 million for Baker Mayfield. That's, you know, what Jacoby Brissett makes. And Baker's way more talented than Jacoby Brissett. Is it so every about 3 years, a really talented quarterback comes out of college with an ego. And I say, yep, yeah, it's not going to work. Johnny Manziel, Baker Mayfield, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton. I'm like, they're just not mature enough. They're talented, but at some point in their career, it's not going to work. And they will not be given a second chance after their initial team fails because nobody wants a polarizing or celebrity quarterback. Baker Mayfield, almost no market. $5 million is what the Panthers would spend. Kansas City spent about $50 million a year on Mahomes. $5 million. And Baker's talented. I'll argue all day he's talented. I don't think he's number one pick talented, but he's one of the 25 best quarterbacks in this league, and there's no market for him. So in the next several years, there'll be another really talented quarterback, and all the fanboys at the local rural fan base will love his ego and his snark, and they'll just say, Colin, you're wrong. That is what everybody likes, that chutzpah. And I'll say, no, it's not going to work. Have some pride. Try to not be wrong over and over on the same thing. Teams are not looking for polarizing, snarky ego guys at quarterback. You know, Aaron's that a lot. Aaron's a once-in-a-generation talent, and even Green Bay now admits with Aaron they don't have a three-year contract. They have 3 1-year contracts. They would bail on him today if Jordan Love could play. Today. So you're wrong on that. We have proof over and over and over and over. Baker Mayfield, you can get for $5 million. Are you kidding me? He's a $25 million quarterback. There's an argument if he has the right team. I mean, he got Cleveland into a playoff game and beat Pittsburgh. That should qualify you for 25 to 30 a year. The only reason he's not being paid is the snark and the nonsense. It does matter. Most people will not be the face of a franchise, so they struggle to relate to it. I get it. But stop arguing that ego and hat on backwards and having a toad as a 21-year-old face of the franchise quarterback is a good thing. It's not. You tolerate it if they're great. But Cam Newton, there was always so much stuff with Cam. It wasn't ideal. Ron Rivera literally left, had a chance to get him, and took his backup. Like, you lost the argument, like, years ago. It does matter. It's called quarterback heel. You want Brady. You want Peyton. You want Breeze. You want Russell Wilson. That's what you're looking for. That you can have an ego, but you go to the press conference, you say boring crap, you play. We just talked about Trey Lance. That's what you want. It's all about the team. We're going great here. There's nothing to see here. That's what everybody wants. They want the Mac Jones press conference. They want the Trey Lance press conference. And you're not selling out as an athlete if you're doing that. Sometimes you just got to fall on the sword for the team. A lot of you watching right now, you know, you have opinions on stuff, but you run a company or you're a principal of a high school or you have a responsible job, and you're not going to rush to Twitter and say everything you feel. Sometimes you don't need to do that. And that was always my knock on Baker. Dude, sometimes I don't need to hear every thought. I really don't. It's like people that go and show me every single meal. Really, you give me one a week, I'm fine with it. I don't need to see every meal you eat on social media. I don't need to see everything about or hear every comment you feel on your Twitter account. It's okay to sometimes fall on the sword for the company. You're not a sellout. You're an adult. And this position requires an adult. First and foremost, as long as you have the requisite talent, Baker does. That's not the issue. Being an adult matters. It's not selling out to not always win every press conference and have the funniest line at every press conference. Eli Manning was legendary for when the team lost, he was always available for the press. And when he won, he was less available and made sure to give the other team credit. That's not selling out. That's being a franchise quarterback. That is quarterback you. But in 3 years, we're going to have another college guy come out, and you're just going to tell me how great he's going to be, and he's got about all sorts of chutzpah, and it's not going to work with that quarterback either long term. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So the Warriors are one win away from sending the Mavs packing and heading to the NBA Finals. They missed an opportunity to sweep the series with a 119-109 loss on Tuesday. I did expect the Mavs to win that game. They are a good team, and they're going to get swept in the Western Conference Finals. Now, if the Warriors win tonight, it will be their sixth finals appearance in 8 years.
That's really something. And yet Steph Curry is still undervalued by a lot of fans.
Yeah, I don't get it with the Steph Curry thing. If you don't understand Steph Curry, I don't know what to tell you. I guess, cool.
So that's literally it.
For you.
If you don't get it.
There's a lot of arguments that I have just submitted to, like, do you, bro, just please stay away from me with your garbage opinion. Yeah. And, like, not understanding Steph Curry is a section of society I don't really feel like I need to spend a lot of time
3 years ago, 70-30, Westbrook's better than Steph. I, like, stopped arguing. It's like, okay, if you don't get it, you don't get basketball.
Yeah, I'm just a busy person. I have stuff to do today, and that is just not, it's not on my schedule. So the Mavericks have avoided elimination 3 times this postseason. They won game 6 and 7 against the Suns in the second round, and again against the Warriors in game four. So they are attempting to be the first team in NBA history to overcome a 3-0 deficit to win a playoff series. The last 146 teams that have attempted that have failed. I don't believe that the Mavs will come back and win the series. I do think tonight will be competitive, though, and the Warriors will have more of a sense of urgency than they did in the last game. It's just human nature to know you have a little bit more runway to not bring the same level of intensity. I don't love it. If I was the Warriors, I would have been upset to not close out the Mavs. Why give them any life?
113-107 Warriors.
Are favored by 6.5.
So that's right on the number. All right.
So there you go. I think the Warriors win tonight. I do think that they take it seriously. I do think that they bring a different level of intensity and energy. And we've seen that even though the Mavs have a lot of fight in them and Luka's incredible, this is a better overall team and they're champions. They know how to do that. Well, the Heat struggled offensively again in last night's 93-80 loss to the Celtics. But Eric Spoelstra doesn't want to blame the team's injuries for the loss.
We're not going to make any kind of deflection or any kind of excuse. You know, Boston beat us tonight. And let's be clear about that. There's guys that are far from 100% on both sides. And that's why this is, just intense competition. It's playoff basketball.
Look, injuries can be a reason. I think the reason why Milwaukee did not win that series was Chris Middleton,
who was injured.
It can be a reason.
Yeah.
But everyone deals with injuries throughout the season and the postseason, and sometimes you get lucky breaks and sometimes you don't. Do I think that Boston is any less of a team because they beat Milwaukee without Chris Middleton? No. This is what are they going to be like? No, we're not going to finish this series until Chris Middleton comes back so everyone's at 100%. This is how it goes. You need a little bit of luck and you need to be prepared when you make a championship run. It's not a knock on Milwaukee, and it's not a knock on Boston. Now, I do think Jimmy Butler's injury is actually playing a massive role in how things are going for the Heat. He is dealing with knee inflammation. But everyone else, I don't want to hear the excuses from. Yeah. Like, Jimmy has laid his body and soul on the line for this team and come up huge multiple times, and he has been better in the postseason than he is in the regular season. So you can put a little bit of the reason, I don't like excuses, but reason on Jimmy Butler. Everyone else, I don't know what's going on. The Heat shot 31.9% from the field and 15.6% from three-point range. It was just Max Strus is 0-for-9. Kyle Lowry's 0-for-6. So they shot a combined 0-for-15 from the field last night. It's a disaster. Listen, for the Heat from shooting.
Yeah,
they don't have enough offense.
Lowry's been a very nice player for a long time. I don't want to say people are washed. That's not nice. But it does feel like it's the very end of it.
Well, I mean, it's just this can't be the answer. And to me, it's Bam. Like, Bam is a number two. He is the number two on this team.
Yeah.
And you should be producing more offense
if you're the number two. I think he's a three.
Well, what we have seen now is Bam is an incredible defensive player.
Great.
He is consistent. He is a great team guy. He fits this organization perfectly. But we need a number two
scorer. Yeah.
And that is not Bam.
Yeah.
He's had less points in the postseason than he's averaged in the regular season.
Yeah. Do you know this is true? When he missed games this year, Miami scored more points. So it's like, you can be a defensive player as a three.
And he's incredibly valuable rebounding.
Absolutely. But as a two, when Jimmy, it would be different if Jimmy was Luka.
Right.
But Jimmy gives you about 22 a game. So Jimmy's not a great closer. He's just a great player. They need a dynamic two. Bam becomes a three. Then we'll start talking about championship material.
Yes, I agree. I think that's what you've seen through this postseason. They do have a lot of nice pieces. Obviously, they're great developing players. And getting this far is not a knock. No one expected them to be where they are right now. So now you start to evaluate what do you need to build on now that you have this foundation of a team that they need a number two. So game six is tomorrow night in Boston. The team that loses game five in best of seven series only wins a series 18% of the time. The Celtics are currently favored by 8.5, according to Fox Bets.
That is a big number. 8.5-point favorite tomorrow night.
Well, I mean, the way the Heat have been shooting, it's been impossible. They can't buy a bucket. So after 5 years out of the NFL, Colin Kaepernick is finally getting a chance with the team. The Raiders brought Cap in yesterday for a workout. Raiders owner Mark Davis said last month that he fully believes Kaepernick deserves a chance to become a quarterback in the NFL. And Kaepernick said last month that he's willing to start at ground level, but he knows he can prove that he is a starter. This is the first actual workout Kaepernick has gotten since becoming a free agent in 2017. The Raiders currently have four quarterbacks on the roster: Derek Carr, Chase Garbers, Nick Mullins, and Jarrett Stidham.
I didn't know Nick Mullins was on the roster. Did I miss that? Was I off that day? When did that happen? I didn't know that.
Cap started 11 games in 2016 for San Francisco. I like that he's gotten a real workout with a team, and that Mark Davis said this. I think he deserves another opportunity, and this, you know, the years thing has just been him being, you know, essentially blocked from being in the NFL. It's not like he like took time off. There's a reason why he hasn't been getting workouts and been in the NFL. I'm looking forward to seeing how this works out. I don't think that he's a starter right now in the NFL. I don't think anybody who's not been doing something for 5 years would walk in right away without any sort of rust. And that is considering how he walked out of the NFL as well. But there are plenty of guys on rosters that are not as talented or don't have as much experience or big game experience that Colin Kaepernick has. I do think he does, if he's going to get this opportunity, we in the media need to allow him to have that opportunity. And a big part of, as you said, not having backup quarterbacks with a certain stature becomes a problem because you're focusing on the backup quarterback, which is why I think a situation where you have a secure starter is the best situation for Colin Kaepernick. If he goes to a place like, almost said Oakland, like Las Vegas with the Raiders, Derek Carr is the starter. So he will have the opportunity to get back into the fold, to get back into a system, to get back into playing shape while not putting any pressure on Derek Carr, who we know is the guy there. That is the best ideal situation. If you brought Colin Kaepernick into a situation where you're not sure about the starter,
and the starter struggles for 2 weeks, then you get a whole different ballgame.
Then you have a whole different situation. So yeah. I think this is a great situation for Colin Kaepernick.
Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Somebody who knows the Lakers inside and out and has written about it extensively is around the corner.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. and you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cameron Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
He writes a book. He writes a book, and I read it. Jeff Perlman's got six New York Times bestsellers, but to me, I see at least nine here. You know, the one I haven't read is "Love Me, Hate Me." Barry Bonds, "The Making of an Antihero." Do you like? Are you proud of that book?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna give me that one.
Sure. I only have one copy at home, literally. So you may have to order it for a nickel on eBay. Have you read the Clemens book? Because nobody's read the Clemens book.
Well, you didn't like it?
It's my least favorite of the books.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so Winning Time is based on your book.
Correct.
I just finished it. I read it on the plane, flight over, front and back, three-ring circus, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the crazy years of the Laker dynasty. I almost read it during times, and I'm like, is this fiction? This kid, all this stuff. So when you were, what I talked about today in the Lakers coaching search, this is the one organization in Los Angeles that's always been political.
Mm-hmm.
When you were doing that book, were you taken back by some of the stories in politicking?
I think times have changed a little bit. That's a thing. Like the thing I see now that kind of hurts me about the Lakers, because I actually I've come to really love the Lakers.
You've written two great books on them.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it was really a family-run organization.
Yeah.
And that comes across, obviously, in
mom
the show.
Mom and pop, yeah.
It really was a mom and pop organization. And when they were going in for a coach, as an example, like when they hired Mike Dunleavy, as an example, after Pat Riley, they end up hiring Mike Dunleavy. And Jerry West was all in on Dunleavy. And he did his research on Dunleavy. And he just knew, this is the guy I want. I am going to target this guy, Mike Dunleavy, because he has something special about him. And I know it. And he would go up the ladder and, all right, Dr. Buss, this is a guy we should get. Okay, I trust you. This is who we should get. And it was a very organized and meticulous approach to hiring a coach. And nowadays, and I know this is the nature of sports in a way, is it clutch? Is it LeBron? Is it Pelinka? Is it Genie? Is it Kurt? Is it Phil Jackson?
Yeah.
And it just feels disheveled, like very, very disheveled. And I also think, I know you kind of feel this way, like the Laker job is a star power job. The Laker coaching job is a star power job. I know that sounds stupid to some people, just hire the best coach, blah, blah, blah. But it is a star job, and it's more than just about basketball.
That's right.
It's about this thing, this Laker thing. And when I hear the names are going after, I know you're a Doc fan. I'm not a huge Doc fan, but I get the idea of that.
Yeah.
He's a name, he's a brand, it's something. It's just a little, it all feels very underwhelming.
Yeah. What do you make of the reaction? I just finished Winning Time. I do like the book more than I do the show, but you know, that's because the book is not embellished. What do you make of Jerry West's reaction?
I find Jerry West to be one of the more lovable characters in the show.
So that's what we said.
Yeah, I really do.
Flawed, vulnerable, but so deeply earnest and caring about it.
Yeah, I agree. And I also saw an interview, or I heard an interview recently, where he actually said he hadn't watched the show. And if that's true, that's a little confusing that you're very angry about a show. And it reminds me when I used to cover baseball and some ball player would be really pissed off at a reporter. And he'd be like, I want to talk to so-and-so, Joel Sherman. And Joel Sherman would come in and he'd say, why'd you write that about me? And Joel would say, what are you talking about? And he goes, I heard you wrote something really bad about me. It's like, did you read it? No. And I can't imagine if you're Jerry West. I just can't. And you watch this show beginning to end, you're really upset about your portrayal. I just don't see it.
I think the acting and the casting is fantastic.
Especially Mark Landsberger. I just want to say Austin Aaron is Mark Landsberger.
He's right over there.
Yeah.
I found the casting fantastic. Is there anything about it that bothered you, having written the book? Was there any embellishment you thought, like the Jeannie Buss situation, they had some liberties there. Does that bother you at all?
All right, so it's interesting. When I first started watching the show, like, all right, there's a movie, We Are Marshall. Did you ever see We Are Marshall?
No, but I heard it's great.
I hate it. I hate everything about We Are Marshall. It's one of maybe my least favorite movie of all time because there's so much BS in that movie. And I was always like, this was a plane crash involving a team and I hate this. So I kind of came into this with that way of thinking. Like every sport, my wife is always like, we can't watch sports movies because you ruin all of them. I'll be watching Rudy. I'll be like, they didn't throw the jerseys. I'll be watching.
I'm the same way.
Are you the same way? Remember the
time. Every time I see an actor trying to hit a baseball, I'm like, that's not a baseball player.
Exactly. Exactly. Remember the Titans. None of this is, you know, I'm that guy. So I had to let it go. Like I just had to let it go. I had to train my way to watch a show and see it as a celebration of the 1980s and the Lakers and these characters. So like people talked, for example, the first episode, people talked about the White Party in the game when Norm Nixon and Magic Johnson play this basketball game, one-on-one game. That didn't happen in
real
life.
That's right. I read that didn't happen.
Did not happen. At first, I was a little, and I just, honest to God, came to accept the fact that, like, this is a celebration, that there's not a, based on a true story, sports movie or TV show out there that is soup to nuts, strict to the material.
That's right.
And I just needed to accept it.
Was there a moment that you actually thought, I like that better than the part in my book?
Oh.
Like they took that. They made that more colorful than I did.
There's a scene. It might be my favorite scene in the whole show. It's a press conference with Larry Bird, played by Sean Patrick Small, and Quincy Isaiah playing Magic.
Oh, and Larry Bird comes off as like hostile.
And he's spitting tobacco into a Budweiser can. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. And that's the thing. It represents an attitude, a time period. Did it literally happen that way? Did the two literally sit there at the podium together at that moment? Probably not, but it represents something. And that's what that show is. And I've kind of allowed that.
You know, I said this the other day to you. I said, if you put Magic in Boston and Bird in LA, it would have worked. But this may have been just symbolically the perfect, in the end, the reason it worked was not just because they were great. They fit their city perfectly.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
100 million, trillion percent.
It's unbelievable what they did. Like Joe Montana should have been with Bill Walsh. He was cool. San Francisco was the counter culture. Like Montana just felt like San Francisco. I always think Aaron Rodgers feels like a Rams quarterback, not a Packer quarterback.
Yeah. Lawrence Taylor was a New York football player. Lawrence Taylor belonged. Mike Singletary was perfect as a Chicago Bear. They're just certain guys where you're like, that works.
When you go back to this book, it's called Three Rings, this book is based on, he's written two books. I want to give both credit.
Showtime,
Magic, Kareem Riley, The Laker Dynasty, this show, and then there's Three Rings. That's the Shaq Kobe stuff, which, by the way, are they going to use both your books?
So they optioned the second book with the possibility.
Explain what that means to people.
So they bought the rights. So I got a check for the second book, basically.
So they're going to use that as another series.
It's theoretically possible. They basically retain the rights to use it, so I can't sell that elsewhere or something like that. So if let's say this series goes great and it goes whatever, 5-6 seasons,
right,
then maybe they jump to the Shaq Kobe era.
Okay, so let me ask you, as a writer, which era is more interesting to you?
Oh, okay. I am a child of the 80s. So to me, growing up in my little hometown of Mayo Pack, New York, watching the Showtime Lakers was breathtaking. That said, the Shaq-Kobe relationship is much more interesting than the Magic-Kareem relationship if you're just talking superstars.
So folks, when you read this book, there are, it is, Were you shocked when you wrote Three Rings? Was there a moment when you're like, how did it work?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when Kobe shows up for his first time and they're at training camp and they go around and introduce themselves. Kobe's 18 years old and it's like, hey, I'm Shaq, blah, blah, blah. Hey, I'm Eddie Jones from Temple. Hey, Nick Van Exel. Yo, I'm Kobe. Lower Merion. No one here is going to punk me. He's 18 years old. He's 18 years old in his first NBA training camp saying nobody here is going to punk me.
People forget that Eddie Jones ended up being a really good player.
So Nick Van Exel.
Excellent player. Yeah. But they couldn't. Like, Eddie Jones was seen as Kobe light a little bit, and Kobe was.
That was a horrible trade, by the way, when they traded Eddie Jones for Glenn Rice. Eddie Jones was far superior.
He went to Charlotte.
Charlotte and for
was
Glenn Rice.
He was an all-star, I believe.
Mm-hmm. He was.
So here you are with winning time. Minute left. It must be incredibly satisfying that at this point in your career, books are now, because I don't think this is the last book that will become, I think the Favre book, I think that could eventually how Aaron's career and Favre, that's something out there. Are you surprised, 40 seconds left, that one of your books hasn't been picked up yet that you do think would make a great show?
I guess sweetness about Walter Payton. I find his life very cinematic, the high and the low, and starting out impoverished in Columbia, Mississippi, and winding up, obviously, with this very tragic but kind of heroic death.
Right.
I think there's a real narrative flair to his life. So,
okay, Hollywood, you heard Jeff Pearlman, that book. And I've said,
Sign me up.
Peyton's the best running back I've ever seen.
Yep.
I didn't see Jim Brown. Walter Payton's the best running back I've ever seen. Jeff Pearlman, 6 New York Times bestsellers, 2 Great Laker books, Three Ring Circus is the last book I just finished off. And congrats on all your success.
Thank you.
Well-earned. And hour 3 next.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're gonna dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft.
That's right. We will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and surprises.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year.
The Fantasy Footballers Draft special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.